This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I got a little bit from the article. Shout out to my boy H&L Dre on Twitter. And from today's New York Post, shout out to Mike Puma who wrote the article. One thing is certain to Soto. He's not getting pitched the same as last season when he had Aaron Judge hitting behind him in the Yankees lineup. It's definitely different, Soto told the Post before the Mets faced the Twins. I had the best hitter in baseball hitting behind me. I was getting more attacked and more pitches in the strike zone, less intentional walks and things like that. I was pitched differently last year. Soto's 14 walks were tied for third in MLB entering the day. Two of those walks were intentional. At this point, opposing pitchers are content to take their chances with Pete Alonso, who has largely benefited from that decision. Alonso entered play with a 1.091 OPS and has delivered several game-changing hits for the team. I would say I am getting a decent amount of strikes, but there's some specific situations where pitchers don't attack, Soto said. But Soto's success as a hitter is predicated upon plate discipline, and he isn't about to stray from that approach. He says, I feel like I am trying to be the same, do damage when I can, and whenever they want to attack me, I take my chances, and when they don't, I just take my walk. All right, well, other than that, there's nothing really in there that's worth $4.99. But I mean, hey, that's up to you. If you want to pay $4.99, I'm giving it to you right here. Soto said the team approach is more important than his own numbers. Everybody has got a role, and I feel as a team we've got to attack pitchers as a team, Soto said. We don't have to attack the pitchers as individuals. If they don't want to pitch me, I just pass the baton and let Alonso do his thing. If they don't want to pitch to him, he should do the same thing. Yeah, well, there were so many folks that said, hey, this guy chose to not stay with the Yankees and have the best hitter in baseball behind him. It's, of course, going to be a little bit of an adjustment and a difference, but I still think Juan Soto is Juan Soto, and I think that it's still very early in the season, and a lot of people are impatient, and I understand the impatience. You act like you are paying his contract. You act like you lost the money that it took to pay for Juan Soto, and I just think he's already been worth it. He was worth the cost before he stepped on the field. Look at the attendance in spring training. Look at the attendance the first homestand. Look at how the team is playing. And I remember talking about the Yankees with Juan Soto and saying he rubs off on his teammates. He's just that caliber of a player. His preparation, his bullpen, not bullpen, his batting practice, like the way that he is, high tide raises all ships. I can't really point to one or two guys that are benefiting from being around Juan Soto, but I've heard guys like Alonso and Nimmo talk about his preparation and how he goes about his business. 888-808-1019. Let's talk about the Yankees, though. The Yankees definitely don't need Juan Soto in this lineup. There's people putting side-by-side images of Trent Grisham and Juan Soto's numbers. The latest is Ben Rice, who took the jersey right off his back. I should have bought that 22. They had the 22 blank jersey on sale, the authentic one. I forget how cheap it was. It was like half off. And I'm like, somebody's going to get it. But I didn't think somebody like Ben Rice would get it. And then Ben Rice being the version of Ben Rice he is right now, it's all good. Moose is in Jamaica, first up on the fan. Go for it, Moose.
Your team's what it do, only another victory.
I'll take a win like that to start the series and hopefully win the series.
Blasting those bombs. You know that Kansas City's bottom third, like bottom five, in the league on offense. So no surprise, Cookie Carrasco held it down.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I can go off of those numbers, but I also can't go off of those numbers. Bobby Witt Jr., people will tell you that he's an American League MVP. Salvi always tries to kill us. Any of those guys from Pasquantino to Mikel Garcia or Mike Massey or any of those guys can get going. Jonathan India, I don't know. I'm not looking at them like their numbers. I don't know their numbers, but good to get a win and good to start the series off beating them and having Carlos Carrasco on the mound only give up one hit and it beat a home run, a solo shot to Bobby Witt Jr.
You're absolutely right, because the bottom line is a win is a win, not how it's won.
Yeah, and you know how they won? They just hit four home runs in two innings after Jazz, cracked that first one. And they got, Seth Lugo, let's talk about Seth Lugo. He came here last year and absolutely shoved against the Yankees. It was one of the most masterful performances of the season by anybody. Not the same tonight.
Exactly. And that's the thing. The Yankees are going to match their way to victories. 95-plus victories because the
95-plus victories?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Keith, it's literally at a point where the Yankees have unlocked the key with their hitting approach, where they are not chasing bad pitches and in leverage counts, literally taking advantage of whatever analytics they have been working on for the past 2 years. You've seen it, and the subtle effect on the team. He was there one season and taught these players, you do not give in to these pitchers when they're trying to get you out. Thanks for taking my call, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Moose. I'm going to give James Rawson some credit, the hitting coach, for that. Not completely give Juan Soto that much credit, but I do, I remember last year, Volpe, Cabrera, both of them had a little bit more of plate discipline and were waiting on their pitches, and they both talked about watching Juan Soto and his effect. He's gone now. He's been away from the team long enough. I can't give him that much credit. 888-808-1019. But you lost me when you said that they're going to win 95-plus games. I don't need them to win 95-plus games in an American League East where they're in first place right now at 9-7. They're in first place right now going 5-5 in their last 10. The Yankees are in first place right now going 500 on the road. The Yankees are in first place right now. Good to get back home to some home cooking when it's not freaking raining and freezing and windy. They're 6-4 at home. Now, what worries me is the pitching, but that's subject to change as well. David is down in Virginia on the Fan in New York. Talk to us, David.
Hey, Keith. Happy birthday to your little one.
Thank you. We had a great time. We are blessed, and I'm still kind of just like floating from the experience of having a two-year-old kid and planning a birthday for him and executing it and it all going well. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Wonderful to hear. One comment and one question. I'm not an Aaron Boone fan, but I really like how he used his bullpen this weekend, even though it didn't work out, specifically finding a lane to use Luke Weaver in a high-leverage spot rather than waiting for the eighth inning. So I thought that was really good stuff there. And then my question is, and I'm not being sarcastic, but in preparation for the Yankees' next injury to his starting pitcher, do you think that they should stretch out Ryan Yarbrough? Because I still think he has a lot of stuff left in the tank from when he was a starter. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, great call, David. Thanks for that call. Ryan Yarbrough, I thought he was about to get up out of here, but maybe he was just getting going. Maybe they do stretch him out. Something's got to give, though. Something's got to change, though. We can't go to Carlos Rodon. I mean, we're gonna, but I don't know. There's so much to unpack with this. Stroman is out. He's on the IL, and no rush. I hope they slow play it. they probably will slow play it because they definitely are not going to let him pitch 140 innings. And he hasn't looked good. And let's go back to the game Friday, right? And then I'll talk about Boone. Anybody I talked to that was at that game was ready for that game to end. I don't think it was Boone waving the white flag quitting because he didn't think that they could compete and come back and didn't have faith in his team and was begging for the loss. It was ridiculous. The game was delayed to start. It was over as soon as Marcus Stroman taken. I would have fought for Stroman to not even, I would have did something. The combination of Stroman and the weather and the delay, Pitchers are the most superstitious creatures of habit. I think when I was on Saturday, I talked about being at a Yankees-Blue Jays game the first Friday in August because it was Hawaiian shirt night, and that game got delayed, and Stroman gave it up then. And I don't know. Friday, I look at it like this. You lose the battle in hopes of potentially winning the war, which obviously would have been the series. They didn't win the series. But, like, what did you want Boone to do down 8 runs in the 6th inning when Gomez can't grip the ball? It's starting to be dangerous for everybody involved. It's starting to be pointless. You have the official game in, right? Like, what is Boone supposed to fight to stay out there all night? Nobody wanted to be out there anymore. So if I'm casting my vote, and if they had a way for us to, you know, go on the at-bat app in the stadium and everybody cast a vote, Yankee fans were out of there. Yankee fans didn't want to be there. Shout out to the GOAT Chico, who holds the flag up in the bleachers for the 7th inning. He's like, we sat out here. I'm sitting out here the whole time to get to the 7th inning stretch to hold the flag, and they call the game. We didn't even get to do it. Everybody was soaked and miserable. So, like, can we not try to make it like Aaron Boone as the manager of the Yankees, who's super competitive and trying to win, is out there saying, yeah, we quit. He was forced to quit. We were all forced to call it quits. And when I go back to David's call about managing the bullpen, and, yeah, when you have a lead and you learn from the Diamondback series against, you know, another NL West team that's pretty good. When you look at the NL West, that division, they've already got 3 teams over double-digit wins. We'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard later. But, yeah, Boone learned from that series, right? Hey, go to your best guys, right? I remember being upset about it. Like, oh, we got to throw Adam Ottavino, who just got back here, and Ryan Yarbrough, send him to Yarbrough, get him up out of here. Like, but whatever. You go to Weaver because you have Weaver, and you need to hold that lead. You need to win that game. And then we all know what happened yesterday. The next point that you made about stretching out Yarbrough, sure, like, I don't know. Maybe we need to throw some bullpen games. Maybe Rodani, it sucks to think that a guy that's making $162 million, like, might have to be a little bit of an opener. 6 years, $162 million, bro. He's making $27 million, and I hate to be already complaining about it, but, like, what you're hearing in my voice is knowing that nobody is going to take him in a trade. The Yankees are not cutting bait. Like, what we've experienced with Rodon this early on, I feel like it's just how he is, and we have to continue to go through that, and nobody, it sucks. It's just like, you can't get excited for his starts. Even when he does pitch well, like, it's just like impending doom. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know that the wind can blow the wrong way, and he's not going to be able to overcome it. And as soon as he's walking guys and he's not getting calls, like, you know what? They need ABS ASAP. That might be the only thing to save the next 3 years of Carlos Rodon. The automatic balls and strike system where he could challenge or whatever. Because when it's in the hands of the ump, he's going to disagree with the ump. He's got something to say. It's just like so easily to, like, I don't know. But anyway, something's got to give. Because Carlos Carrasco, as a veteran, can come out with moxie and give you starts like this. And even his start before the Detroit start. C is for Cookie. That's good enough for me. Will Warren, TW, the will to Warren. He will will himself through 5 innings and be good enough, be solid enough, good enough for me. Now here comes Clark Schmidt. How many pitches is Clark going to throw? 60 to 70. The bullpen's got to be ready to go then, and I think they will be. And I don't have to tell you about Max Fried. We're good with Max Fried. At least we feel good about Max Fried, but... like, Carlos Rodon is the opening day starter. It's just going to keep coming back around to Carlos Rodon. And I know the Yankees have a mental health coach, right? You know, the Yankees' mental health coach tried to pitch the Yankees, the Red Sox 2020, the Red Sox 2004 comeback when the Yankees went down 3-0 against the Houston Astros in the 2022 ALCS. That guy might be out. But whoever is there, they need to get Rodon into some meditation. Life is crazy. There's a lot going on. But sometimes if you just close your eyes and control your breathing and think positive thoughts, it will help you. Like, maybe he needs to talk to Marcus Stroman. or maybe doesn't. But Marcus Stroman talked about being grounded and staying grounded and being where his feet are and being, you know, having gratitude and things like that. They need to do something to get through to Carlos Rodon. That is not the end of the world. But don't let Jung Ho Lee hit two home runs.
That's not Carlos Rodon, though. And it's never been him in his entire career.
No, he is what he is.
Right. So you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's a nice pie in the sky idea. Get him meditation. Get him on yoga.
Coaching,
anything. But this doesn't surprise anybody.
No, because it's on brand every single time.
Rodon's going to have 4 or 5 starts where he's going to look like an ace. That's just, it is what it is.
He has the stuff.
He has, and he's going to have 15 or 20 starts where you want to never to pitch again for your team because you know what is coming. You know what is coming with this guy.
Baseball,
it's frustrating.
Baseball is enough of a roller coaster through the season. I don't want to be on the roller coaster that is Carlos Rodon. It's just like, it's not fun. And I know that those bad vibes get picked up by his teammates. And it's just like, it's a combination of his personality, his stuff, and like the stage. There's a lot of people questioning whether he can pitch in New York or not. Clearly not.
I think the stage is a good part. And you can even, and a lot of people, and a little separately, a lot of people freaking out about Devin Williams. And I think Williams is probably going to be fine, but I think it's an adjustment period. You're pitching in Milwaukee, now you're pitching for the number one brand in all sports, probably.
Yeah.
So I think that's an adjustment period, right? I don't think any realistic Yankee fan expected him to become Mariano Rivera the minute he put on the pinstripes.
Nope.
That's ridiculous, right? But I think he's going to struggle, much like Juan Soto has struggled. Now, Soto has done it in New York before, where we need Williams to actually do it in New York to have that kind of, like, leeway, right? Like, that's, like, the...
Yeah, but his struggle as well, like, everybody went back and looked at his April and May numbers in Milwaukee, where people didn't make a fuss about it there. His struggles here so far with similar numbers with the Yankees, or they want his job taken from him. They want him demoted. I'm not going that way. But yeah, it's funny you bring up Devin Williams because I was having this conversation too. So many people were ready to take his job and say that he can't pitch in New York. What about the starter that took the ball on opening day? 888-808-1019. Bruce is in Flushing on the Fan. Go for it, Bruce.
Hey, Keith, a couple of Yankee points, and I'm going to ask you a tough question, and you're going to act like general manager of the Yankees. First on the Yankee points, I understand when fans overreact. It's when media members overreact that gets me a little crazy. I mean, yes, we know the last several games, Yankees playing in cold weather, 35, 40 degrees. A lot of the Yankee pitchers like Warren and Carrasco are touchy-feely type of pitchers. So it's logical to assume that these guys are going to have trouble in cold weather. And also, it's obvious Jazz is not like playing in cold weather. And I know, you know, the old axiom, well, it's cold weather for both teams. Yeah, fine. But the bottom line, there are certain players who can't or won't play well in cold weather. And if I know this, the media members can know this, and when they overreact and say, well, Will Warren's not that good. He's just, you know, a struggling pitcher. And Carrasco may be like that in good weather. Granted, I'm not sure. But Carrasco is definitely a really type of pitcher with his stuff. So I don't understand why media members who should know better overreact to the stuff.
Yeah, I can only speak for myself. I'm more of a fan than a media member, and it's way too early to be overreacting. The first, like, week of the season, I said, we're going to react. We're not going to overreact. We're going to jump on some things, but we're not going to jump to conclusions, and you can't. But, like, for the purpose of sports talk radio, like, we got to be somewhat measured, and when you measure the conditions. You have to put in the equation. It was 32 degrees. They moved all the games in Detroit from night games to afternoon games. Just that alone changes what these guys do. It changes their sleep, their wake up, their routine. Like you mentioned with the pitchers, certain pitchers, they're just not going to have their stuff in the elements. A guy like Jazz, that's why I said he's from the Bahamas, bro. If you grew up in the Bahamas, do you think that you would, I don't care what age you are, if you grew up in the Bahamas, like the cold is extra cold for you. I have family in Jacksonville, Florida. When it's 55 degrees, they're in hoodies and jackets. Like, it's just it's a climate thing from what you're used to. I can't speak for anybody else, but when I am measuring the early part of the season, like, I'm having fun. I've seen a lot of Yankee fans panicking. I'm like, yo, chill. It's going to get hotter.
We're in first place. Baltimore's rotation is shot to hell. Boston is 3 or 4 games in a loss column. So we, even though we had this horrible start, playing in horrible weather, we're in first place.
Yeah, they weren't going to go 162-0 because they swept the Brewers.
Tough question for you. Trent Grisham is playing well. Great. But we know he's not a 340 hitter. Do you call up a team like San Diego who lost Merrill, who lost Grisham, the Atlanta Braves, who lost their left fielder for 80 games due to steroids? Do you offer them Grisham for a number 3 or number 4 type of pitcher?
No. Not a 3 or 4. And they're not going to give Grisham in this ballpark with that swing, Grisham in center field in this ballpark. You know what the question I thought you were going to ask?
What?
I thought you were going to ask, why was Alex Verdugo playing every single day over Trent Grisham? Is he that much of a center fielder that he couldn't play left field? Because that was my question with Dominguez, and bravo tonight, Dominguez was all over everything. But my question with Dominguez's struggles was, why can't Trent Grisham play left field? He did a little bit of that in his career. And now, as I'm watching him hit, because he's getting consistent at bats, this guy was glued to the bench in favor of Alex Verdugo. Why couldn't he have played over Verdugo in left field last year? Because he's strictly a center fielder? No, he's an outfielder. And I think he would have ran into more homers, or maybe if he had more consistent at-bats, a better batting average, some singles. We've seen him hit some singles, some doubles. Like, I don't know, man. That was a question. I'm like, well, how come last year they were so loyal to Verdugo and Trent Grisham just was a non-factor? They're not going to trade Trent Grisham. Belly, look at Belly right now. Belly has missed so many games already. They need Trent Grisham.
They also need another pitcher. On you know, I mean, it's great that Schmidt's coming back, and I'm with you. Stroman can take the next 2 months off. That's fine with me. But if there's another injury coming down, you have to dig deep in the farm system. So you wouldn't trade him for a 3 or 4. Would you trade him for a number 2?
It depends on who. I'm down to trade him. I'm just telling you, they're not going to trade him. They're looking at his offensive production and his defense in center now with Judge back and right, and they're rubbing their hands together like the dude from The Simpsons. They're like, yes, like this, like the plan is working out. They are far away from trading for another arm. Thanks for the call, Bruce. 888-808-1019. Luis Hill will be back at some point. There is no getting rid of Carlos Rodon. So, like, that's what I was saying in the last couple weeks, too. This last start pissed me off because I didn't watch it, and then I'm getting the alerts, and then I go back and look at it, and I'm like, it's so on brand. It's like a car crash in slow motion. You see it happening, and you can't avoid it. But, like, we have to handle this dude with kid gloves. He's ours. You know, I said he's like he's got more bark than bite. He's like this, like, he looks like a pit bull, but he's a pup, man. But he's ours. He signed. He signed through this window of Judge's prime. He signed as these young kids are emerging. He's a left-handed pitcher that we need in Yankee Stadium. He has the stuff. And I think he's evolving into a guy that, like, isn't just relying on, you know, throwing his fastball by you because he can't, you know. And even, like, his off-speed stuff, he's leaving that up. And Jung Ho Lee is hitting bombs. And it just, I don't know. They have to figure it out with Rodon. like, there's no other recourse. You can't put him on the Phantom IL. You can't skip a start with him. Without Gerrit Cole, he is paid like a number 2. He's got to be the number 2 to Max Fried, and I don't know what it's going to be for him. I remember 2 years ago when, like, he had this, like, weird, I know we got a break, Paul. He was talking about, like, after the season, I remember he couldn't get an out against the Royals to end the 82-80 season. He talked about he's going to go to someplace, like, dark and quiet. Like, I don't know. I joked that he was going to a darkness retreat like Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, man. I don't know what it is with the guy. I don't know what it is with the guy. Here's something from the live chat. Shout out to Bourbon Legend. He said Trent Grisham was really good when he was in San Diego before Tatis broke out. And he also mentioned that they knew they had Jackson Merrill. And he said that, you know, he went yard today after a bunt attempt. And I saw that. I was sitting right behind the visiting dugout. I saw that bunt attempt. And for those of you like Evan Roberts and some others that are saying, why is Juan Soto attempting a bunt? Sometimes that gets you into the rhythm, into the game. I've seen Juan Soto do that before. Coming up next, the big shot of the night. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll be right back after this. A nod to for big shot of the night. We'll start with the Yankees first. I've been saying it. C is for Cookie. That's good enough for me. Better than good enough. Carlos Carrasco to start off the series against the Royals, to go out there today. And if you, you know, we always want to do this. If you take away that one, if you take away that one hit by Bobby Witt Jr., he goes five innings, giving up nada, no hits, no runs, with two walks, four strikeouts. Obviously, you can't do that. But either way, good stat line for, you know, the veteran Carlos Cookie Carrasco. And then out of our lineup today, shout to Judge, who had two knocks. Shout to Goldie, who had two knocks. They didn't have any ribbies. I got to give this one to Jazz. Jazz Chisholm, back-to-back homers, right? Or back-to-back days with a homer. He's also tied for the league lead. I was talking about how MLB put out that Aaron Judge, Jazz Chisholm, Tommy Edman, Wilmer Flores, Kyle Schwarber, Tyler Soderstrom, and Mike Trout are all tied at six homers in Major League Baseball. Judge is due. Judge should be at like 10 right now. He should be well above them. But I'll, you know, I'll give the double shot to Carlos Cookie Carrasco and Jazz Chisholm for tying that game. And the Yankees never looked back. It was contagious once Jazz cracked it open. You know, three other left-handed hitters followed up behind him. Trent Grisham, Ben Rice, and Austin Wells. And then on the other side, well, all the way in Minnesota, the make-it-happen Mets make it happen in the first game in the Twin Cities. And I got to give it to Clay Holmes and Juan Soto. Clay Holmes goes out there, and if this is the version of Clay Holmes that the Mets are going to get, it's a steal of a deal. I just was crying about what the Yankees are paying Carlos Rodon. Clay Holmes goes out there, five innings, two hits, one run, eight Ks, two walks. And then just to get some people to chill, just to get some people to remember that he is the generational Juan Soto tacks on the insurance runs. You didn't need him, but Juan Soto goes deep again, and who knows what comes from this. He attempted a bunt, and later on, he popped up, and then later on, he saw one, he connected, he hit it out. Maybe he gets hot right now. Maybe this continues. 888-808-1019. Let's continue with your calls. Oh, yeah. And the thing that popped up with Rodon that I got to mention, and I don't know how they come up with these numbers, Dugout Forever on Instagram put it out there. The money that Carlos Rodon has been paid, $56 million. His produce value is $13 million. How much are they paying Clay Holmes? Oh, man. Eric is in Bayside, Queens on the Fan. What's up, Eric?
Yo, dude, what's up? You know what? First of all, let's calm down about Rodon a little bit. He won 17 games last year.
It wasn't just,
you know, a fluke. I know it's over. I know it's over. I know you're trying to turn the page onto this year. Weather's been brutal. So be it. I'm willing to live with it. Now,
yeah, we have to.
Somebody mentioned about Yarbrough a couple of callers ago. He's going to be really needed during Schmidt's start on Wednesday as far as the piggybacking go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, as far as stretching him out, he's a long man right now. I think the caller was stretching him out to say, like, maybe he can, you know, be a sixth starter. I don't know if the Yankees are going to do that, but they got to get crafty, man. It can't be every time Carlos Rodon goes out, we go on this adventure that ends in a car crash. I don't know. We have to live with it. I am just hoping that they are working with him between every start on just like the mental aspect of it and having more of a poker face and also being able to overcome obstacles. I'm sure he's overcome some obstacles in his life. He needs to apply that mentality to the mound.
Okay, as of now, you can't count on Rodon. You can't count on Stroman. You're gonna need guys like Yarbrough down the road, like Schmidt. You're also going to need this kid that they brought up, Winans, that they got from the Braves last year. He looks like he could be something to mess with here.
Yeah, Alan
Winans.
And
Winans, I wonder how they're going to fit him in.
I saw a little bit of him in spring training. He's here. We'll see. We don't have to worry about about Stroman. He's on the 15-day IL, and I do think they slow play that. They could just tell us the knee, they're still swelling in the knee, and you won't get a word out of me on the opposite. I won't fight him on it. And, you know, it's good to get Clark back, and I'm hoping that the young man, Luis Gil, gets back sooner rather than later. And then next thing you know, it is closer to the deadline, and then they have to get another starter because there's no way you go into October and it's free Rodon. There's just no way. There's no way.
Yeah, but you don't want to give away too much just to get, you know, either a 4 or a 5.
Yeah, but you might have to. If this American League is looking like this again, another year, like the Yankees are in first place at 9-7 in the AL East, no one should scare you out of the Central, even though we did go lose to the Tigers. And the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are in first place in the West. Like, I don't know. I'm punching it. I'm going for it. Like, if it's Pablo Lopez or it's Sandy Alcantara, I know those guys are going to be the top guys at the list. Like, you got to get another ace because this lineup is deeper this year. So if the hitting actually comes through this year, imagine Judge actually comes through this year. Thanks for the call, Eric. Imagine this is the year Judge comes through. I know I've talked about this a lot, that like there's no higher place for Judge to fail. Some would argue that the World Baseball Classic might be. Judge is now going to play in the World Baseball Classic. So there are some of you that are like, oh, is he going to get hurt? There's some of you that are like, is he going to perform? That's higher stakes. Is he going to deliver or is he going to choke? I don't know. But what if this is the year that Judge, and I really think it will be because he already failed in the World Series. There is no Galaxy Series. Like, he has a kid now. Life is different for him. His perspective has changed. It's like he's the captain now and like the lone star face of the team, Juan Soto left. What if this is the year where he answers the bell? I would want to make sure that I have the starting pitchers to back him up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't want to be in a game where Judge hits two homers and the Yankees lose 8-6 in a postseason game because the Carlos Rodon started the game. I don't even want to. I wish I didn't say that. Let me hit the dump button on that. Bob is in Jackson on the Fan. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, what's going on, Keith?
What's going on?
I got 2 points. Number one, are you really confident in this Mets pitching?
It isn't that I'm really confident in it. I'm confident in Hefner's laboratory. Like, they just are able to take these guys and get more out of them. And Frankie Montas will be back. And Sean Manaea will be back. And as we're talking about going to get a Pablo Lopez or a Sandy Alcantara, they can do that as well. The bullpen I'm definitely confident in. And the starting rotation has been better than anybody really thought. And it's deja vu. Last year going into the season, the Mets have one of the worst rotations in baseball. It's a clear weakness. Same thing here. Oh, this lineup is almighty. It hasn't been that. It's been this rotation of guys. Like, if Kodai Senga stays healthy, yeah, you should be confident. If this is the version of Clay Holmes you're going to get, hell yeah, you should be confident. David Peterson, being like, I don't know. I don't see any reason to doubt them off of what we've seen early, because it's just going to warm up. They're just going to get more confident. They're just going to have more to build off of.
Yeah, well, Keith, these guys are going 5 innings. Tyler McGill, David Peterson, they're going 5 innings at.
This is Major League Baseball today. If a guy goes 7-8 innings, if a guy goes what Michael King did, the whole baseball world is talking about it. Michael King over the weekend goes 9 innings, 2 hits, gives up 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, and everybody is like, oh, complete game shutout. Like, it never happens anymore.
All right.
You know?
Also, number two, yeah, on the Yankees. This kid, Ben Rice, the man eats rice.
He eats nails in his rice. He swings the bat harder than anybody, and he is so locked. I mean, I love it, man. I love it. I'm going to keep giving myself credit for it. When I sat in with Dave and Susan in spring training, they said, who's impressed you the most? Who are you most excited to see? I said, Ben Rice. He went back to catching a bit. He said he put on 10, 15 pounds of muscle, and every time he hits the ball, it's 105, 110. I'm like, he got the confidence last year. He made history last year. I'm like, what is this guy? I wasn't even thinking about him in the offseason. Honestly, because you get Paul Goldschmidt to play first base. You have Cody Bellinger that can play first base. You have DJ LeMahieu who can play first base. What's the progress with DJ? I'm just kidding. But with Ben Rice, I'm like, maybe it was a fluke, you know? Maybe it was a one-year thing, and it wasn't a full year. Is he even going to break camp with the team? Of course he's going to break camp with the team. By the time I was talking to Dave and Susan, and you know, now it has translated. It's not just spring training. He's doing it in the regular season. And you know what? Shout out to Major League Baseball. They did a thing with Ben Rice where we got to see his personality a bit. I think he went to like a player's house where they were doing content for Major League Baseball. And Ben Rice, that's why Ben Arroz really came up. He flexed his English, Spanish, how he speaks Spanish as a second language very well. And you got to just see him in kind of, you know, Spencer Jones vibe. Now everybody knows who he is. He's becoming a household name. Good to have him. You need hitters in the lineup. This is your DH. This is your leadoff hitter. I did not have that. I did not have that in my mind. I didn't have that in my mind even February when pitchers and catchers, I did not have Ben Rice as the leadoff hitter every day DH with five home runs. And if I go pull up his OPS and go pull up all, you know, like the baseball savant stuff of how many hard hit, it's great. Is great. Ben Rice, that ball is cooked.
Four.
Ross is in Bergen County on the fan. Ross, I got the Rangers highlights on right in front of me.
Yeah, I only watched for one reason and one reason only. It was Tim Rosen's second to last game. But, you know, they're just the latest kick in the you-know-what is the story. You know how, like, you know, my Vikings a couple years ago, the story of the whole season was that we were 13-0 in the one-score games, and the one-score game we lost was against Danny Jones in the playoffs. Well, leave it to tonight being the first game where the Rangers are officially eliminated is the first game of the season where they came back from down multiple goals, which is, if you think about it, was like the narrative of them all of last year where they were like the comeback kids, you know, they'd be down 3-1, 4-2, didn't matter if there was like the whole third period or 5 minutes left on the clock, they were going to find a way to bring it to extra time. And I mean, this year it's been the complete opposite. Believe it to when the pressure's off and all the eyes are off of them. All of a sudden now they go right back to what they were last year.
There's no weight on it. Doesn't matter for anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing too is that a lot of people are getting on Laviolette, myself included, because, you know, same old song and dance. Obviously, live for near Chicago, all these top picks that never panned out. And what do we see? We got Gabe Perreault, where I don't know if you know the whole story. Perreault, we drafted him 20th overall, but he was supposed to go like top 10. He was on that top line at Boston College. Him, Will Smith, Ryan Leonard, they're like some of the best prospects. You know, some of the best prospects at NCAA. And he fell to us at 20. And he debuted the other day, and Laviolette scratched him like two or three games in a row. Yeah. The way the hockey contracts work, but you know, like the entry level contract, you sign it, but they basically burned a year on it to not play the kid. And now they're playing him now that it means nothing. But I mean, I just don't understand when are they going to learn that, you know, you call a kid up and you don't even play him. What's he going to learn? Like they did it tonight with Berard. So as much as I'm not the biggest Laviolette fan, for me, Drury's front and center, the face of all this. Obviously, the players too. I mean, Kreider's a banjet. I mean, they're 1A, 1B. They're probably gone. It sounds like Kreider's a foregone conclusion to be gone. Everyone's talking this up like it's going to be his last game of you know, his career. He only knows what it's like to be a Ranger. So if this is it for him, obviously, you know, he had a hell of a run, but it's a what have you done for me lately type city. So obviously, he's going out in disgrace. And honestly, if Mika's the same situation, same thing with him. I mean, that's how bad this last year was. Even last year, I mean, look, last year, as good as they were, there was some debate as to people who were overly optimistic about the team. Me, I was kind of, you know, half in, half out as to if they were legit or not. But Mika, or Kreider, and especially Mika, I mean, they weren't really fooling nobody last year either. This is just who they are. I think like people were kind of more so fooled by the Trocheks and Foxes of the world. But and Lafreniere, I mean, forget it. But, you know, it's just at the end of the day, it's sad that Sam's wrapping up on Thursday. But we got, I don't know if you saw the news, Kenny Albert getting announced as the officially the new voice of the Rangers. So one of the best in the business, if not the best man. So, and he's a legend around here, obviously, with Marv. And then he does the Knicks, you know, on the radio and everything. So he's great. What he does for TNT. So, yeah, he's awesome.
Well, your Mets have the young guys playing. You know, Acuna's up. They're playing him. Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos. Yeah. What are your thoughts about the make-it-happen Mets?
It's about time for Vientos. RBI double. I saw Acuna was like 2 for 2 with the walk and all that. He's raking. Obviously, Beatty. Don't even got to waste time on him. But Vientos and Acuna, I mean, if they could get it going, and you kind of get the news now with Siri, not like he was giving you anything with the bat, but obviously the base running. The aggressiveness on the bases. Yeah, I mean, look, that he was that so. I don't know, Soto's first RBI was the homer, but he had that Soto RBI in Houston. That was all him. That play was all him. So that was kind of, you know, he gave you like that aggressiveness on the bases. But I mean, you know, Taylor's not really giving you that much.
That game against the Blue Jays where he came in, stole a base, and then he was going the whole way. Yeah.
That's true.
You need guys like that to manufacture runs. That athleticism can be the difference in a tight game.
Well, and I'll say this, you just brought up Michael King. You know, I always point to, and you guys saw the other one in Lugo. I think Lugo and Michael King were the reason why Stearns wanted to try this Clay Holmes experiment, turning him into a starter, because obviously Lugo being second Cy Young to, you know, only finishing behind a guy in Scooble who won the Triple Crown, and Michael King, I mean, they got Cease out there. They let go of Blake Snell because, you know, Michael King, they think he's the real deal out there. He proved it yesterday at the complete game. And I think Stearns kind of saw something in Clay Holmes kind of being next in line with that rhetoric. And, I mean, you see him with that changeup, man. The one thing I'd say with him is kind of the length in terms of starts. Yeah, I don't think, you know, so far from what we've seen, it did kind of the same thing with Canning, but not so much from the reliever perspective, because obviously Canning's a full-blown starter. But, I mean, so far through these first couple starts, Clay's have had the electric stuff, but I don't know how deep he's going into games. What, did he go, like 5 innings tonight? I was kind of in and out between them and the Rangers. But, I mean, when he was on it, he was throwing some electric stuff. And honestly, same with Ryan. I mean, they couldn't touch Joe Ryan for the first couple innings. That second inning, I think they whiffed on every, you know, pitch in the zone. But the fact, and Soto, by the way, you know, I think I brought up Soto, the fact that he finally got another homer on the board. I mean, it took long enough. I'm not going to panic with him because he's getting on base. That's what he does best. But, I mean, at some point, I kind of compare it to when Lindor first got here. At some point, people are going to start bringing up the AAV and looking at the numbers. So I'm not panic mode with him yet. Obviously, the homer was refreshing to see, but at some point, we, you know, the walks and everything and the singles are nice, but we got to see the clutch, you know, at the, you know, with the runners in scoring position and all that. So I don't know, man. I got hope still for now, but I appreciate the time, man.
You got it, Ross. 888-808-1019. We'll get another call in here before we go to break. But, like, 5 innings of one-hit baseball, I'll take every time. 5 innings of two-hit baseball, I'll take every time. Clay Holmes striking out 10, striking out 8, I'll take that every time. With this Mets bullpen, you went Brazoban, Garrett, Stanek tonight. You didn't go Jose Buto. You didn't go Max Kranick. You didn't go Edwin Diaz. Maybe you don't want to go to Edwin Diaz. Like Deadnil Nunez coming back. Like, I think you can work with that formula. If Clay is giving you 5 innings of one or two hit ball and striking out, God, I don't know. I'd be fine with that. In this modern day baseball, as long as you don't get chased off the mound before five, they'll take five. They'll take five. Good enough. Hand the ball over. 888-808-1019. Vinny in Staten Island, on Staten Island, on The Fan in New York.
What's up, Keith? How's it going?
It's going. It's already 12.
I know, man. Last time we talked, we were talking about how we could get Ben Simmons out of here, and thank God
That was the highlight of the Nets season. That was the best thing that happened to him. Like, once they got him to disappear, was he with the Clippers now? It's like, all right.
I don't even know, but I don't even care.
I think just I wore Nets gear here for the like rest of the week after that.
I don't doubt it. But my thing is that about the Yankees, right now, I know it's still early. Clay Holmes deep in the season. I'd rather him over Rodon right now. I'm so sick of this guy. He's terrible. I don't understand when, like, we keep waiting on Rodon. He's going to make that switch. You know, it's going to come. It just never happens. And this guy, I'm so sick of him. I want him off the Yankees, and he just needs to go.
I mean,
I'm so over him.
We're stuck with him, bro, and they're going to keep throwing him out there.
I know.
You know what? Like, we didn't know Clay Holmes would be this. Clay Holmes would be in our bullpen. He wouldn't be a starter.
Nobody thought what this guy would do that.
I mean, I guess Jeremy Hefner or really David Stearns had the thought.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pitchers that I would take over Carlos Rodon right now just because, like, he's a tough watch because of his attitude, right? Because of the facial expressions and the poutiness, and then like I said, like the woe is me look, like that ball just went out. I can't believe it. I can. I saw it coming. We all saw it coming. So I don't know. That's why I said I hope they can do something to just.
He's bad in New York. The home runs, you know, at home because, you know, everybody said, you know, Yankee Stadium is easy to hit home runs, and it's easy to give them up, too, and that's just what he does at home. Thank you, Keith, for having me.
Thanks for the call, Vinny. 888-808-1019. It is what it is, yo. This guy is paid to be in your rotation. This is a guy that has the stuff to be in the rotation. It is just a mental game. I don't know what they got to do. They got to, like, get Dr. Oz or... Not Dr. Oz. What's the thing? I don't even know. Like, what's the guy? They need somebody to hypnotize this dude, bro. Hypnotize this guy. Make him think he's in San Francisco or Chicago. I don't know if he was even good enough there. Just, like, make the situation not as dire. And that's the thing. You're a baseball player, bro. It's early in the season. Why are you getting so mad? I'm like, is he putting on the madness because, like, this is New York. We want our players to care. No. With you, I want to see you be the same. I don't want you hopping off the mound against the rules, the Royals putting your tongue out. I don't want you blowing kisses. Like, just go out there and pitch and be able to weather the storm. There's a defense behind you. There's a bullpen behind you. All right, I'm behind time on breaking. We got to go to the break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll say good morning on the other side, BRB.